A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapters 61 and 62. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult from my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. A reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God.
Our gospel text this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke's second chapter. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought the child Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow, to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Please, would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be like water and sunlight to the truth that you have planted in our souls. Amen. Did you wish it at some point when you were a young child? Did you wish that you had a great aunt somewhere, distantly related, that might one day leave you a small fortune, just a tiny one? Did you maybe wish, whether in anger with your parents, that you had been adopted and would soon find your real family, who would be amazing in every way? I remember watching a movie. Let me say that the movie was much older than I was, or am, okay? I think it was Audrey Hepburn, maybe Fred Astaire. I don't know, some of you might be able to remind me. And I think it had something to do with Daddy Longlegs, and there was a shadow at some point in the movie. But she discovers that there's this person who pays for everything, is like a benefactor. And then she discovers that she's related to him, and she ends up having a lot of money, right? I watched this movie. This is what informed all of these thoughts in my head. Well, wouldn't that be helpful if we came to a time when we discovered, especially when we needed it, that there was some bank account somewhere and some lawyer randomly wrote us a letter and we open it in the mail and it says, woohoo! It's like winning the lottery, right? Have you ever wished for that money tree in the back garden that just proverbially keeps on giving out leaves of money, right, that we can go out and pick? Well, friends, this morning's scripture tells us in that letter from Paul that we have an inheritance, that we are indeed adopted into a family of great wealth. But here's the thing about an inheritance, right? I'm still sure that I have a very wealthy great aunt out there somewhere. But I just can't find her, and I just can't find that bank account. And I'm sure my mother is sure that I think there's a money tree in the back garden to this day, but I can't find it. And we all know, right, your bank account, if you've been saving diligently, or the one where your paycheck goes into it, or your Social Security, or whatever it may be, that bank account is only good for you if you can access it, right? This is the fear that leads people who have lived long enough and seen things like the Great Depression. It's what leads them to fold money up and store it away in little cans in the kitchen or under their socks or inside of their mattress, right? Because we know that banks can crash, and our money is only as good as our access to it and as the worth we all agree it has. So if you couldn't access your bank account, you wouldn't be able to claim any of the goodness that it has for you. We all trust when we walk into the supermarket to buy our groceries nowadays that our credit or debit card is going to work, right? Nothing worse than going away on vacation and finding out that there was a complication with the credit card or the banking system, and all of a sudden it won't work. Nothing worse than those times in our lives when we've had a check bounce, right? Well, here's the thing. Paul talks about an inheritance that is for each and every one of us. Paul tells us that we're adopted into this family of great wealth. But if we don't have access to that wealth, if we don't have a way to plug into that bank account, we can't draw that goodness down for ourselves. We can't find that inheritance. Last week, we had the great joy of putting on costumes. There were even some alligators at the nativity right up here. Some of us came down to the manger, I think mostly all of the folk who were gathered, and we gathered around the manger. On Christmas Eve, we did that figuratively. We sang about that place, that holy birth. But how many of you, whether it was literal or figurative in your sense of coming to the manger last week at Christmas, how many of you stepped forward to that baby Christ child and thought of yourself as a sister or brother by adoption? Paul is asking us to think about that Christmas narrative and the coming of Christ into our midst in an expansive way. And so now, right at the end of the year following Christmas last week, and as we begin to reflect on our lives this year past and this year to come, maybe many of the years that have passed us by already, we're invited to think about that child as being important in our lives in a different way. We're invited to think about ourselves as brothers and sisters of Christ who share in Christ's inheritance. Let me read again those words that Paul shared in Galatians. So when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption. Not adoption in the sense of, oh, well, you get some, but you remain outside of the family, right? Not as distant cousins, blessed just a little bit, but read what Paul says, adoption as children. Adoption as children. Of equal value to that Christ child. And then Paul goes on to say, because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, which means daddy, father. So you are no longer a slave, and that's that reference back to the law. You are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then he speaks directly to what you might be wondering about by this point. And if a child, then also an heir. Also an heir through God. Now, if you're wondering what that actually means, because how are we all connected and related to this baby born some 2,000 years ago, think about it this way. That blessing that Simeon and Anna spoke over that child, if we are brothers and sisters to that child, if we are equal heirs with that Christ child, then that blessing is spoken over each and every one of us. Think again about this blessing spoken over Christ, that is an inheritance in which each one of us also share. Simeon said to God, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace. Because remember, God had said to Simeon, you will not die until you see the fulfillment, until you see my Messiah come. So Simeon says, Master, you are now dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, this child born, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. So right there, Simeon is declaring that this child born into the Jewish faith is not just for the Jewish people, but for all people. Throughout time and space. And then Simeon blesses the family and says to Mary, this child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Anna, who is a prophetess in the temple, she praised God, she blessed the child and spoke of that child to everyone who was yearning for the release of Israel, for the promise of a future full of glory and freedom. So friends, that inheritance, those blessings spoken over that baby, that goodness, that warmth of that moment is for each and every one of us. Cast your mind back, if you would. Can you remember a good word spoken in your life? Can you remember how it felt to have a teacher name something good in you, or a parent, or a time when you achieved something in your life? I remember I was 5 years old and my mother had sent me to an art class at the local college. It was an after-school program that they offered. I think it was probably taught by the students of the college. And kids would come into this art class. And my picture won a prize. I still have that picture somewhere rolled up if my mother's been kind enough to keep it. It was a stick-figured picture of my mother. I had fingers on it, and her hair was curly. It was really basic. I look back on it now, and I laugh. It was no Van Gogh, let me tell you. But when I received the compliment of getting a prize, and I remember my prize was the teacher, I don't think they actually had any prizes, but she sat me up on the table so that I was standing on a table in the classroom. That's why I think she probably wasn't a real teacher, but a student. I got to stand on a table. I was head and shoulders above everyone else in the class, and she declared that my picture was the best. I was 5 years old, and I can still remember shadows of that moment. I can still remember that moment. And if you asked me whether I can produce art, I would tell you, yes, that I can, and believe me, I'm still no Van Gogh. But I would tell you that I can because my confidence is based on the word of some random person whose name I can't remember and who I probably never saw again in my life. Do you have a similar memory? The reverse is also true, right? People who say, oh, sweetie, I don't think you should sing. And then we tell people for the rest of our lives that we can't sing, or we can't read aloud, or we can't pray aloud, or we can't do this or that, or whatever it is, right? But if you can remember the people who encouraged you, the person who spoke a good word over you, that helped your heart to blossom in a moment. Friends, that is the voice of Simeon and Anna. Not just to the Christ child, but to each and every one of us. Because each and every one of us is heir to a great inheritance. And the bank account number is written on your heart. We all have access to it. Now, I know if you had a money tree in your back garden, you would build a wall around it. You would pick it every day. Come dawn, you would stick those leaves underneath your pillow and you would tell your spouse not to tell anyone. Right? I mean, if we're honest, wouldn't you? I know I would. Maybe you'd be inclined to dig it up and put it in your basement underneath daylights, right? You'd keep it for yourself. I know I would. I mean, maybe we'd think that we would be generous and we'd share a few leaves with the church because we're good churchgoers, right? But we wouldn't actually tell anyone we had a money tree in our backyard, would we? Here's the thing, though. This inheritance that we have from God, this never-ending source of love, forgiveness, grace, and compassion that is available to each and every one of us is not just for us, but through us, it is for the world around us. It is the money tree that gives and gives and gives, so that we don't need to be scared that it'll give up in the wintertime. We don't need to be scared, and we don't need to steal and put the leaves underneath our mattress, stealing them away at the crack of dawn. We can give freely of this bounty which we have received, because it is not just for us, it is for the world. Because each and every person in this world has that same potential to be adopted into this one great family. That is the good news that we take with us. That is the potential of each new day. It is the potential that I invite you to reflect on as this year changes, and as we look forward, and as we see the hope, the grace, and the compassion that is needed in our world. So may we bring that each and every day of this new year as we tap into that love which is for each and every one of us. Amen.